The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Are fathers necessary? For all of recorded history, the need to explain why fathers are necessary would have been regarded as, well, unnecessary. It would have been like explaining why water or air is necessary. But we live at a time in which the obvious is routinely denied. There have been articles in the most prestigious journals denying the importance of fathers. The Atlantic magazine, for example, published an article titled, "Are Fathers Necessary? A Paternal Contribution May Not Be as Essential as We Think." The New York Times published a discussion among five intellectuals titled, "What Are Fathers For?"
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
It's such a great point, such a great piece of audio there, and so appropriate for what's now unfolding in the country. Some widely prophetic words. That was Dennis Prager on how the importance of fathers and fatherhood has constantly, consistently been undermined over these past few decades. Right now, U.S. Census Bureau, I think the number is, if I remember correctly, I'm sure this is pretty close. There's about 24 million children in this country that are living without a biological dad. That's about a third of all kids. And, you know, we're seeing what? We're seeing the byproduct of this. There was a news report just as I was going to break, and I told you I'd bring you up to speed on it. There's been another reported shooting. Police are investigating a shooting at a company in Maryland. The situation remains active. My team will continue to monitor this as news breaks, and we have more information. We'll be sure to give it to you this afternoon. But the Washington County Sheriff's Office is including a shooting with multiple victims at Columbia Machine in Smithsburg, Maryland. And that's about, if you're not familiar with the area, it's about 75 miles west of Baltimore. And this is just another tragedy. We talked about what a mass shooting is. We talked about this earlier in the day today. And a mass shooting involves anyone who has been, you know, shot or killed in numbers of four or greater. So that is it's another mass shooting. Apparently, I shared in the very first segment of the program. If you missed it, go back to the podcast and check it out, relevantradio.com/Drew, and you'll find it there, that there has been 13 mass shootings last weekend. From Friday through Sunday night, 69 people were injured, 17 have been killed. I was back on the East Coast. I was away for a couple days. In Philadelphia, there was one of those, one of the worst, and it was in Philly, and the other in Chattanooga, Tennessee. But this archive that I was referring, was getting sources from, said there have been 246 mass shootings so far this year. You might add another one now. That number's up to 247 based on what's now reporting. And again, when you hear this, you know, sometimes you think of Mandalay Bay or Virginia Tech. You know, that's not always the case, you know, when it comes to mass shootings. You know, sometimes the numbers are not as great as that, but they're still pretty serious when you deal with the loss of life that takes place here, whether it's schools or concerts, whether it's post offices. We're seeing way too many of these, way too many of these. And the situation is, well, what's the heart of this? You know, is it guns? Too many guns? There's been a lot of debate on that. I don't think it's the gun itself. I think mental illness is a big issue, but I also think there's a real societal sickness going on. I think at the very heart of this is a problem within the heart of the family. You know, Satan hates the family. Sister Lucia DeSantis said that's where the great battle will be. The final confrontation will be over family and marriage. And we see it. We had 19 people killed in an elementary school, you know, in Uvalde, Texas. That just dominated the headlines. The boy that did that was very troubled. He grew up fatherless. His mother was an alcoholic. His grandfather was a convicted felon. He and his mother had so many fights, the police were almost regular visitors to their home. And I'm sure that those cops, as they walked away from there, said, man, this kid needs a good dad. You know, and I feel bad for single mothers. I often share, my sister is a single mother, right? And she raised her son without the father. That's why we need other men to step up. I'm an uncle. I lived very close. I tried to be a good male influence on on my nephew, and he's doing great today. He's a wonderful example of what a male influence can do. And it's not just me. There were my other, you know, siblings that played a role in that. But, you know, 13 mass shootings over the weekend. We have had almost 250 this year. I'm willing to bet that a lot of those involved gang members, right? Chicago, New York, they lead the poll numbers. What's happening in Chicago, where gang-related shootings, you know, keep the Windy City, you know, busy. They have some of the strongest gun laws, Chicago does. Some of the strongest gun laws in the entire nation. And yet they are at the top of the tier. You know, I think it's New York followed by Chicago with the most gun violence. So, you know, I'm not here to argue guns today. That's not what I want to talk about. But it's just a point to illustrate. It's a fact to illustrate a much deeper point. The problem lies in the family. The presence of gangs means the absence of a good family. Gangs come about because there's a void, because of family life breaks down. And that primarily starts with the father. The statistics about what happens in fatherless families are well known. We've talked about this many, many times. If you've listened to me over the years, you've heard some of the data, some of the stats. Kids do more poorly in school without a dad. They're more likely to engage in sexual activity earlier than those who have fathers at home. They have more psychological problems. You know, they have higher incarceration rates, higher drug use, a whole litany of things. They're more likely to use drugs, commit suicide. In other words, their lives are generally worse off. And of course, some families might not have a father because the father died or for some other reason. And I'm always very careful about this because I think they're great moms that are out there, like my sister, right? You know, I think that there are great mothers that can raise families. I don't want to scare people. I do want to talk about this problem, though, in the big view, in the culture. What's happening now is that guys are becoming dads, and then they're walking away from their responsibility. They're leaving the mothers to care for the children that they helped create. They're not marrying, right? And we're seeing fatherlessness in this country on the rise. I'm joined today by somebody who has studied this, that knows the data far more intimately than me, who's an expert on this, probably one of our nation's leading experts. Her name is Dr. Meg Meeker. She's a very gifted author. She wrote a book entitled Strong Fathers, Strong Families. And she recently came out with a masterclass on implementing that in the family. So if you're a little concerned, you want to be a better father, you want to be, you know, a better family unit, even a better mom, you should check out her website. You can find her online at meekerparenting.com. She joins me today to give us some perspective on not just this breaking news and all that we've been seeing in the culture at large, but to maybe help you. And you're more than welcome to join us. So dial in at 888-914-9149 and join the conversation. Doctor, good to have you back. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me, Drew.
I'm always delighted. You're one of my favorites. I always enjoy our conversations. I mean, you're right on. You tend to have your finger on the pulse of what's going on. News was breaking as I went to break, and I thought another mass shooting, you know,
yeah.
Four or more people injured or killed. That's how they define those things. And here we are. And I think, well, it'd be interesting to see what the profile of the shooter was. Your take, Uvalde. I mean, that was a fatherless, you know, man, again, a young kid with a broken family. What role does a father play in what we're now seeing in society at large, in particular with so many of these shootings that we're seeing?
Oh, my. You know, we have so much chaos in our culture, particularly among young men who are absolutely out of control. They are aggressive. They are angry. They are trained to be violent, and they are away from their fathers. Even if they have a dad in the home, I will guarantee you they do not spend much time with their father. It's very interesting. I don't know if you remember about 6 or 8 months ago, I might get the state wrong, there was a lot of violence in a school amongst all the teenage boys. It was a high school. And the father said, we're done with this. I think it was in Louisiana. We're done with this. So 40 fathers decided they were going to take charge. One gentleman, this is an African-American school, one father per day would just go in the school and walk the halls. That's all he did. He didn't teach anybody, didn't say anything. And within days, the amount of violence went away. Why? Because boys are out of control, and the only person who can bring them under control is a dad, A mother can't do it. It's a boy thing. Articles that were in the Atlantic and the New York Times are really disturbing because there is so much literature out there, hundreds of very good papers written, talking about the importance of a father in a child's life and talking about how they are less prone to depression, anxiety, violence, more likely to go on to finish high school and go on to college. You know, physically, emotionally, spiritually, they are have a far greater chance of success than those without a dad. I think what we're seeing today isn't research being brought forward. We're seeing a lot of opinion. And articles like that are all based on opinion because women primarily don't want dads to be important. Either the dad has walked out or they just want to do it on their own, but they don't want dads to be important, so they push them away and they come up with all these excuses. If you want to know really if dads are important, ask a child, because every child would tell you, I want my dad. I want my dad. I don't know where my dad is. I want my dad, because a dad is not a mom, and that's a great thing. God created a child to have need for mom and for dad. You take dad out of the picture, you rip the heart out of a child, and they can't get their bearings. And this is what we're seeing all over the country.
Yeah, my guest today, Dr. Meg Meeker. If you want to join us, you can get in right now, 888-914-9149. Let's go to Mike. He is listening in Chicago, wants to join the conversation. Dr. Mike, good afternoon.
Hey, Drew, how are you? Great show as usual.
Thanks.
You know, Drew, I think we have three issues in this country, okay? One, the first one is we've lost a moral compass. We have no moral compass. Mm-hmm. Our traditions and norms have been whittled away at for decades till they don't exist anymore. We have a problem, obviously, you're talking about it here, with the family. There's an attack on the family. Now it's, you know, do whatever you want, whenever you want, wherever you want, as long as it makes you happy and you feel good. We also have a mental illness issue in this country, and people don't want to call people out who are clearly sick because their feelings might get hurt. So here's where we are, confused, broken, sad, and lastly, God. God is missing at every level of everything we do in this country, and there you have your problem, and not to mention what you guys are talking about with fathers missing and not being a key role in a child's life. American culture is dead. It's destroyed. And no one wants to talk about that, Drew, and that's the truth.
Great I think show. Well, Mike, always good to hear from you. I'm grateful for your input. That was so well said. I think every point that he brought up is right on.
Yeah. Two important points I think he said beautifully, and that is when you take God out of a culture, everything falls apart, because every single one of us is born for relationship with God. Second, we are born for relationship with our loved ones and our family. So you rip that out of a child, and what are you left with? You're left with emotional and mental chaos. He's absolutely right. We have a lot of mental illness, but we need to be careful, because even a child who has, say, schizophrenia or really bad depression or personality disorder, if they were in a home with a father who was watching them and caring for them, dad would make sure that child got adequate help. But that's not there. So now you have a young man who isn't being watched, who's spending hours and hours and hours and hours in front of violent video games, who he's being trained to kill, and he doesn't have a foundation. He doesn't have a moral compass. And he's really off center and grieving because he doesn't have a dad. What else is he going to do but go out and just imitate what he knows? He's acting on his emotions. I'm angry. Life is horrible. And this is my response, is what I've been trained to see. And, you know, he's absolutely right. the concern I have about mental illness is, again, people want to find a reason for kids shooting other people that are easier to remedy, quote unquote. It's not really easy. They want schools to be better. They want programs to be better. They want to say, well, we need more doctors in there, you know, giving psychiatric care. Well, first of all, I don't know that all of those are as mentally ill as we think they are. Are they mentally ill? Yes. But what I'm wondering is, even if we take those kids who are mentally ill, and most of us can spot them, if truth be told, I can spot them. I've spotted them in kids in my practice. Teachers can. You have this sense that, uh-oh, this kid's going in a wrong direction. But where do you send them? You know, those kids need to be in a psychiatric hospital or whatever. There's no place to send these kids. And this is very disturbing as well, because we can fault people, for teachers, whatever, for not identifying or seeing red flags. But even if they do, the truth of the matter is we can't do anything or get those kids under control or isolate them until they commit a horrible crime. And that's the reality of it. So it's multifactorial, but at the center of it is removing God and removing fathers. And I think God knew this. Of course God knew this. If you look at the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament, scholars believe there were, about 300 years before in between those. The very last thing that God had written at the end of the Old Testament, because it was so important in Malachi 4:6, turn the hearts of the fathers toward their children, and the hearts of the children for their fathers. That's how profoundly important God felt dads were in the lives of kids.
Yeah, and to Mike's point too, he talked about, you know, God is so key, Doctor. I'm with you. It's the top of the list. When God is removed, there's a void. Just like when the father's removed, there's a void. Gangs fill that. We fill the void when we take God away with things that will never fulfill or complete us. But there is, I think, really a connection to this dysfunction that we're seeing amongst America's youth today that come from fatherless families. I mean, the stats play it out, and you probably know them far better than I had read somewhere that 90% of all homeless and runaway children, that they were from fatherless homes.
Right.
That's 32 times the average. 90%, that means 9 out of 10 of those kids didn't have a dad.
Exactly.
63%
exactly. And in prison, men in prison, same statistics. They're in prison,
right?
because they feel like throwaways.
Right.
If a man or a boy doesn't have a dad, he feels like, I'm not worth having my dad stick around for me. And that's all they do to get in tremendous amount of trouble. The pain in the heart of a child who doesn't have a dad is real, and it's big, and it's frightening. We don't want to see that, though, because what it means is that dads need to say, wait a minute, I'm being told I'm marginalized, I'm being emasculated, I'm, you know, told that I am not necessary.
Right.
It's a lot easier to believe that than to say, you people are crazy. I'm going to be home with my kid, and I'm going to raise my kid, because dads have been brainwashed, even really great dads. I see brainwashed, and it's really sad. And one of the reasons I'm out there, you know, beating the drum is say, don't believe this. Don't believe this. There's no evidence at all that you are unnecessary in your child's life. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of evidence that you are, and I can point you to it. We can't ignore that.
Yeah, and I do want to talk to single mothers, too, because, you know, when this conversation comes up, and inevitably when I look at some of the data and the stats out there, if I was a single mom, I'd be sweating bullets, right? But that's not the case. In fact, I think we have a mom on the phone right now. She's her husband passed away 2.5 years ago. She's got 3 children. Her name's Carrie. She's listening to us in Minneapolis, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Hey, Carrie, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, my question is, as a widow, my oldest is 23, my other is 21 and 16, boy, girl. And so how do I become, you know, not only the heart of my home, but the head of my home, right? How do I fill in for my husband who passed away?
Such a great question. Such a great point.
It's a great question, but here's the difference between your kids and the kids who get in trouble out there because dad didn't pay attention. Your kid's father did not choose to walk away. And they got enough of his character and his teaching and his example that it is a huge part of who they are. And so you have that going for you. Now, that aside, you can't be two people. And if you try to be mom and dad, you will exhaust yourself and it won't work. Here's what you can be. You can be an extraordinary mother. And that's good enough for your kids right now, because God will help you, of course. In the meantime, I would try to expose your kids. It's hard for your older kids. I would try to expose your kids to a good man, grandfather, uncle, coach, so that they can visually see what a good man looks like, how he talks, and how he acts. Because that will make an enormous difference in their lives. But I just really want to encourage you. You can be a great mom, and you can raise great kids, and that's enough. So don't beat yourself up.
You know, Carrie, I need to speak to you, too, because my sister is a single mom, and she raised her son by herself. And I got to tell you, you're going to be okay. He turned out great. I was not that I'm the greatest man or the greatest father, but I really tried to be present in his life, and so did some of my brother-in-laws and other family members. You just got to plant those seeds, and as Dr. Meeker pointed out, make sure that he does have a male influence in him. But they're going to be all right, because I always worry about this, doctor, that Carrie and others are going to be very concerned about the future of their sons. The data does play it out, but I it raises another question here. And Carrie, I'll offer a prayer for you tonight, too. My wife and I will when we spend time in prayer this evening. But it brings another question. Her husband passed away. Right? Why are men abandoning their children in huge numbers? That's really another key element here. I mean, why are men abdicating this particular role?
Well, I think that, again, it's multifactorial. I think that they began to realize that they were not necessary when the government started paying for them to leave. And now, I'm not saying that that is the reason that all men leave, but I think that we made it very, very easy, and we encouraged fathers to leave when we stepped in and say, we're going to take care of single mothers, which is wonderful. I mean, it's a very hard situation, but she'll be okay without you. Here's some money. I think the other thing, too, is there was a gradual trend that really came out of the feminist movement, and I was there and I saw it. I'm old enough to have been there, which is women said, we can do everything, we can be everything that a man is. And then we said, we can do everything and be anything better than a man is. We can do anything and we don't need a man.
Right, right.
And we basically emasculated men. When a man lives in a culture that doesn't respect him as a man, then he goes away, because men need to feel respected. If they don't feel respected in their homes, I would be interested to see a study on respect and divorce, because men need that. Women don't need that as much as men do, but if they don't feel respected and they feel maligned and they feel someone is communicating to them that they're a pain in the neck and they're not really needed, they're going to leave. Now, that's saying it fairly simply. It's more complicated than that. We've also made divorce incredibly easy. Couples don't have the incentive to go and try really hard to work things out. Of course, if you have a strong faith, we know what God wants. God wants the marriage to stay intact. So the couple has to work very, very hard to keep the marriage intact. But I think it's all of those things working together where fathers throw their hands up and go, okay, I'll leave. It's interesting, too, that I found that a lot of good men will leave quickly because they just feel like I believe what you say. You don't want me around. The kids don't like me. I'm not going to make any trouble, and I'll just go and live in another home because this co-parenting is perfectly fine for kids. It is nowhere near as good for kids as a healthy marriage. Again, I'm not trying to point the finger. I'm not trying to make people feel guilty. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to stand up for kids and talk from a kid's perspective.
My guest today is parenting expert, Dr. Meg Meeker. If you want to join us, 888-914-9149. If you're on hold, when I come back, we'll jump right in the phones, grab your calls. We're taking a look at really the rise of fatherlessness in the country and what we're seeing in the culture at large. Dr. Meeker just did a master class. And, Doctor, I want to talk to you about this, on strong fathers and strong families. This is part of the solution to the problem we're seeing in our country today. And when we come back, we'll explore that. If you're a father, you're struggling. If you're a mother, you want to get in, feel free to join the conversation. Pull up a chair. There's always room for you. We'll be back with more right after this.
The Drew Mariani Show.
Hi, Drew. Thank you. Thank you for your show.
This is the Drew Mariani Show.
Marvelous show on the radio right now.
On Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
But the bottom line was, my pops wasn't there. I would see men, they looked like my dad. I missed him. I would want to talk. He wasn't available. It's okay, cool. I grew up. Very masculine kid, okay? Love girls, hit hard, like to play ball, like to play basketball, everything masculine. But the thing was the means of passage was missing. I didn't have one. My means of passage was how hard I could hit. My means of passage was how big was my knot in my pocket. My means of passage was how well could I hold my liquor. My means of passage were all of these negative influences because I was influenced by those who didn't have an influence themselves. Blind leading the blind. A bunch of kids out there trying to survive.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, that was a correctional officer. His name was Calvin Williams, and he gave a TED Talk about what fatherlessness did in his life. You really should see it, and I was struck by it because you take a look at the impact of fatherlessness on the culture. The rate of incarceration of men without fathers is through the roof. 85% of all children show behavioral disorders that have these disorders. They come from fatherless homes. It's 20 times the average. 80% of rapists with anger problems come from fatherless homes. 14 times the average. And the data just plays out. You can go through it all. 70% of youth in state-operated institutions, where do they come from? You got it. Fatherless homes, 9 times the average. 85% of all youth in prison, they come from fatherless homes. The list goes on. Today we're seeing a real spike in suicide rates, too. And the number I have before me here is probably an old one because I remember this from talking about this, probably 5-10 years ago, that suicide rates, and it always struck me. I mean, we know that there's been, a 300% increase in suicide today. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. That was back in, I think, 2013. That was 5 times the national average. I bet it's a lot higher today. So what do we do? How do we resolve this situation? How do we protect our children and their children? Because ultimately, this has a ripple effect. I'm joined today by Dr. Meg Meeker. We're going to take a few of your calls if you're on hold. Thanks for waiting. I always appreciate it. Dr. Meeker is, of course, a parenting expert. She's an MD and has written books and just finished a wonderful master class. And, Doctor, let's talk about that before we jump into the phones. I think this is important for people to check out as well. You did this on strong fathers and strong families. How can people get plugged into that if they can at all, and what's the fruit of that?
Yeah, it's very easy. Just go to meekerparenting.com. You can do /strong if you want to, meekerparenting.com. Here's why I wrote the course, Drew, because we talk a lot about you know, dads being gone and how dads are pushed away, and we talk about fatherlessness. But I felt it was very important, and I'm sure we have a lot of men listening today who are divorced who feel like, gee whiz, that was me. Have I messed up my family? No, there's always a time to change course and get your family back. But I wrote the masterclass because I wanted to give fathers specific things they can do. Because what I found as people responding to my books, which I was amazed when I wrote Strong Father, Strong Daughter, is it just was globally very popular. And to tell you the truth, I was very surprised. But the reason I believe it was is because it was encouraging dads. Yeah. And there's no encouragement out there for dad. And so many dads need encouragement. But as they got the encouragement, they said, okay, I get it how important I am, but now what do I do? Right. The masterclass gives fathers specific things to do, and it works. And so I really want to encourage the single dads out there who are feeling bad, they're feeling guilty, they feel they've blown it, perhaps they've made a lot of mistakes and they're paying for those mistakes right now. I don't know. But I do know that every child and every family wants their dad back. And this is a masterclass that will help kids get their dads back because it gives fathers things to do. And it's easy. It doesn't matter how old your kids are. It doesn't matter how many times you've blown it. It doesn't matter who you are. A child's heart is a child's heart. And this is a way for fathers to really dive in and take some steps to get their kids back.
All right, let's jump into the phones. Amelia is listening to us in Chicago. Amelia, I know you've been waiting for a while. Good afternoon.
Thank you very much, Dr. Njeru. So I have a 13-year-old nephew whose parents are divorced. He literally lives by himself 80-90% of the time. His parents, I think I just said it, are divorced, and they're in the military. They literally volunteer for deployments in order to leave him with the other one. So currently he's here in this area and lives with dad. Dad picked this area because he leaves for a week and drops, just tells my mom, hey, watch him. He's at the apartment. And now it's to the point where my nephew yells at my mom, tells her, I hate you, getting a little bit just more aggressive with her. And my mom now is afraid he might, you know, turn violent, especially as he's getting older. He literally has no one. I mean, his parents just don't care for him at all. He's seen porn, drugs, all of it. So what can anyone even do in a situation like this?
You know, it breaks my heart to hear that story. And unfortunately, it's not that uncommon because truly both parents have abandoned him. And that's just the way it is. And he may become violent towards his mother. I have seen boys, particularly teenage boys, that mothers can't control because these boys are so angry and so hurting that they turn on the person that is safe. In other words, it's not going to hit them back. Here's what I would do if I were in your shoes. I would try to find a grandfather, an uncle, or somebody that might be willing to spend some time with him. He needs a man, or he's going to get out of control. Or if he's not already in control, and then someone who's stable in his life. I don't know if you're stable in his life or somebody that's constantly there, because his parents aren't. This is incredibly selfish of his parents to do. I'm sorry. They're abandoning this poor kid. And if you can find somebody who can just love on him and have his back, and then, but that's the person he's going to take his anger out on, and then bring another man in there somehow. That's about the best you can do. And if somebody could introduce him to God, to Christ, that's huge. That's huge because they teach him about God the Father, and God calls himself Father for a reason.
Yep. Amen to that.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. That's beautiful. Yes, those are ideas. Those are something we can start working with and see what comes of them. So I appreciate it.
Amelia, hang in there, okay? I'm sorry to hear what you're going through. That's a tough thing. 13 years old, Doc. I mean, that's hard, especially for early exposure to porn and some of the other things we're seeing. You know, the other thing I saw, and this is just a side note, video gaming. You know, so my wife and I were talking about this. She had read something somewhere, and she says, what do you think the number one problem is right now for you know, early marriages, for young marriages, young adults? What do you think the challenge is? And I thought, oh, it's got to be pornography. It was video gaming. Mm-hmm. That's another big threat to you know, our youth today. I mean, people are, and to young adults too. I found that as a strange note. But the other thing too here, and I want to get this in, and we'll jump back to the phones. Transgenderism. As you're talking about all these different issues that we're seeing, and we know it's on the rise. We're seeing more of this trying to be mainstream by the current politics of our day. Is there a link to the increase and the absence of a father or the abdication of a father's role with the rise in transgenderism in the culture? Have you studied that? Or is there any data, any evidence there?
I can't turn to any data, but I will tell you anecdotally and personally, absolutely. These are kids who are in terrible pain. Now, we all know in our country, just by looking at the explosion of transgenderism in our culture, that there is a big fad going on with a large percentage of these kids. There is genuine, true transgenderism out there, but the people who feel that they're living in the wrong body from the time they're very young until they're older are extremely rare, you know, less than 1%. So what we're seeing now is an explosion of kids who are saying, I'm confused, I don't know who I am, I don't know who I identify with, and then they're given an option. And they have somebody who comes along and says, well, are you a boy or are you a girl? And they say, I don't really know, but all I know is that I hurt and I'm confused and I can't find my way. So maybe if I transition my gender, my life will be better. And the problem is it doesn't work. Honestly, and I feel very strongly about this, children should never be transitioned, ever. We're literally... Wow. Chemically castrating young men. That's what we're doing. And we're living in a society that says, this is not only okay, I'm going to offer it as a viable option to boys in school and to girls. You're threatening their fertility. I actually had one mother whose daughter was transitioning to a boy, and she was 13, and I said, you realize that you're probably not going to be have children when you're older. And mom said to me, not the daughter, mom said to me, that's okay. She doesn't want kids anyway. She's 13 years old. These kids don't know what's happening. They can't think far enough ahead. And they are really being victimized. They're having hormones pumped in their body. They're having surgery. And I really feel very strongly that parents shouldn't even think about this until the child is 21 and has a brain maturity to figure this out on their own. Wow. This is how chaotic our culture has become. We've normalized the bizarre.
Yes,
and kids are paying the price. And you know, we're going to see lawsuits in another 30 years or so, because these kids that were transitioned during childhood are going to turn around to their parents and go, what were you thinking? I'm miserable. I can't have kids now. How in the world could you allow me to proceed with this when I was 12? Kids can't deal with this, the confusion of being offered the option of being a boy or a girl. You really want to mess a kid's thinking up? Give them that option, and it'll make them kind of crazy. I could tell you stories from my practice that would just go on and on, and you just shake your head and go, this is craziness.
Yeah, it is. My guest today, Dr. Meg Meeker, again, my gratitude to everyone who's holding. I have to take a short pause here, Doctor. When we come back, we'll jump right back into the phones. Julie in Tampa, you're on deck, and our conversation will continue as we take a look at strong fathers and strong families. We're seeing fissures in the culture. We're seeing a breakdown of the family. When I come back, I'll share with you, somebody who prophesied what we are seeing today and why we're seeing it. That straight ahead.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app.
Hey, thanks for joining me. I wish I had another hour to spend with you. I know a lot of people waiting to get in on the conversation. If you're just joining us, we're taking a look at strong fathers and strong families in light of the breakdown we're seeing in our culture at large, from school shootings to increase in drug use, incarceration, and all sorts of other problems. I can go through a litany of them. You know them, so I won't belabor the point. I have invited Dr. Meg Meeker to stop by. She is one of the nation's leading experts on fatherhood. She's written a book called Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters. I spoke to her about that before. Strong Fathers, Strong Families is... Doctor, is that another book as well? I know you did a master class on that. Is there another book on fathers you wrote?
No, yes. I wrote a book called Hero, Being the Hero. Strong Father Your Kids Great. Need. And the master class actually refers to Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters.
Okay,
but I
okay.
will do another one on boys. You know, it just takes time to work through all of
it
these.
It does.
And I know we're going to take calls. I really want to encourage everybody out there. We have an answer. We have an answer. Our answer is in God. And, you know, all great things, I heard a pastor say, all great changes come through prayer. Yep. And to Amelia and that young boy, acknowledge a child's pain, acknowledge the loss they feel, don't blame anybody for it, and then teach them to turn to God the Father. It works.
Amen to that. I was thinking Maggie and my producing team here was saying, hey, don't forget to plug Big Brothers, Big Sisters,
yes.
Knights of Columbus. There are great alternatives for single moms that are out there that can make a difference. And you're right. When it comes to the God point, when I went to break, I was saying, I was always so struck by an interview, Sister Lucio de Santos, the visionary of Fatima, with, mm-hmm. I think it was Cardinal Caffara. This is back, I think, in the 80s, she gave this. And in it, he revealed that she said the final battle between the Lord and the reign of Satan, it'll be over marriage and family. But here's the key part. And we see the attack on family. We see it on marriage. We see the fatherlessness. We can go through the litany of stats. But what she said, don't be afraid. Because anyone who operates for the sanctity of marriage and family will always be contended. They'll be opposed. This is the divisive battle. But Our Lady has already crushed the evil one's head. She's already crushed it. In the end, we win. And with God on our side, who can be against us? Right, Doctor? You make sure God's a big part of that child's life and they're going to be okay. Let's grab a couple calls. We only have a few minutes. David in Orange County, California. Welcome.
Hi, Drew. How you doing?
Hey, David. Good to have you here. Go right ahead.
Good. Long story short, I'm a single father right now. I've raised my kids, one, my natural child, and my stepson.
Great.
Long story short, my stepson has turned against me. Doesn't want to have nothing to do with me. Told me I was like the worst father, never felt love for me. In case that's the opposite, I've showed that young man nothing but love, try to raise him in church, and just how do I go about trying to repair this relationship, or do I just avoid it? That's my question.
No, you don't avoid it. because this is a boy who's hurting, and I don't know what his relationship with his biologic father is, but I will tell you something. You will wear the mistakes of his biologic father. If his biologic father wounded him a lot, he will spill that onto you. And he will test you. He will dislike you. A lot of that is a cry for help. So what I would encourage you to do, you loved him, but he didn't feel loved. So I would gently, over time, months, go to him and say, you know what? It really hurts that you didn't feel my love. And I want to know from you, because I don't know how to do this. What is it that makes you feel loved from me? What do you need from me? Now, the first few months, he's going to say, go away, I don't need anything. Right. I guarantee
that's what he's
you.
Done. That's what he's
yeah,
done.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I guarantee you, if you take a different approach, and not just say I'm going to love you, I'm going to love you, I'm going to love you, you need to flip it a little bit and try to figure out and get into his mind. Why doesn't he not feel loved by you? There's something blocking that. It might be his, you know, his history of pain. It might be something you did. I don't know. But you need to find out. So that's the first thing. Gently go after him. Email him. I want to have coffee. I love you. I know I've made a lot of mistakes. Even if you haven't, in his mind you have. So I've made a lot of mistakes, but I love you and I want to learn what I need to do to help you and to help you understand my love. There's the disconnect. See, in his mind, he doesn't interpret what you're doing as love. So you're convinced, I've shown him this, but you need to figure out in his head what is it that's blocking your love and what is it that makes him feel loved. And you're going to need his help. But when you ask him that, he's going to love it because he's going to know you're really interested. But be patient. This is going to take time.
Okay.
He's going to push back because he's not going to, because he's going to trust. He's going to test you to see, do you really mean this or do you not?
Hey, the other thing too, David, just as a father, I think, you know, time is kind of a gift for you, because I think when this man becomes older, and he becomes a father himself. I can speak personally. I appreciate my father so much more today, now that I'm a dad and a father, than I ever did when I was young like that. And he's going to know that you stood up. You were the man in the gap. You instilled those moral values. He's going to really come to love and appreciate everything you do. Although right now he may not say it, one day he will. So just stay the course, okay, brother?
Yes,
Thank you, Dr. Meeker.
You got
Thanks
it.
Thanks so much.
All right. Julie in Tampa, Florida. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, how are you?
We're great. Go right ahead.
Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Dr. Meeker. I had a question and also a comment. The comment was something that you actually made when I went on hold, and that is that there is a real issue. I call it a matriarchal issue, where there's a lot of mothers or women these days who have no problem with not getting married, and because their desire just to be a mom, that they have children out of wedlock, and it's like a badge of honor to be a single mom almost. And I think we see it too in our American programming, televisions about teen mom and single moms, and that's a real shame that we're saying this is okay in our society to do this, and I won't say this letting dads off the hook, but certainly that this is a real epidemic, that we are encouraging this and that women are taking the bait. And I don't know if they're lacking fathers in their lives and that's why they don't find the need to have a father for their children. I'm not really sure. But my question was, do you see this in other societies, like European societies, where there's a lack of fathers in the home? Or is it just an American epidemic? I'm just curious. Thank you.
I haven't studied other countries and cultures, but I imagine you would find it in a lot, for sure. I think that what's going on in America is, you're absolutely right, women over the past 4 years have said, we have power, we want to grow this power. We are independent, we are strong, we're going to beat men, and have come to the place where we not only say we can do everything that you do, we are better than that, we don't need you, and therefore anybody should look at me and go, wow, isn't she amazing? But this is very, very twisted. It's also incredibly selfish. And I hear adults talk, you know, I want a child, I'm getting older, I'm not married, but I want a child. And they don't think about the child. You know, we can sit here and women can talk about their needs and they're not getting along in their marriage and they're just not in love anymore and they've got a few kids and so they need to be happy. No, they don't. Their kids don't care if they're happy. Their kids are thinking about themselves. Their kids want their parents under the same roof. And that's hard to get through to parents who are so focused on their own quote-unquote happiness and pride and so forth. They're not paying attention to the needs of their kids. And this is a biblical concept, but without biblical knowledge and a knowledge of God's will for his people, you won't understand that.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Time is ticking away here. How about Mike in Albuquerque, New Mexico? Mike, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. I wanted to mention a book I read a couple years ago. It was written by an author named David Goldstein. It was originally published in 1903 before the Russian Revolution. And the title of the book was Socialism, The Nation of Fatherless Children. In 1903, he wrote this. He was a former communist who revealed the plan. Yeah. And it worked.
Mm. Yep. Wonderful. I mean, that's prophetic, really, to write that. But the rise of socialism, where the government is everything, the government is your parents, it's your teacher, it's everything, just takes this erasing of parental influence to another level. It not only wipes out dad, it wipes out mother. So that's very, very dangerous.
Hey. I don't mean to step in, but there's one other thing I really want to get in here before we run out. And give me it in 30 seconds. There's a father on there who says he wants to know how to deal with... Maggie, what was the comment? Drag queens? Drag queen story times as a father. How does he deal with that?
Don't take your kids there. It's awful. It's horrible. Stay away. And teach your kids that that's not a healthy thing. You don't want them to teach them to hate those people.
Right.
But look, this is not healthy. I'd never let my kids
go there. Got to leave it right there. My gratitude to Dr. Meg Meeker. It's good to be back. We'll talk again tomorrow. Until then, God bless.